Good evening. How's everybody doing today? We got sunshine coming tomorrow. That'd cheer anybody up, wouldn't it? We're going to be continuing in Daniel chapter 2 tonight. And through the week, I try to recap in my mind everything that we do the week before, questions, comments, and stuff. Has anybody got a question before we start? We can handle them before we start. Might be a little easier. I'll give you 3 or 4 seconds to think about it. Now, what I've done on the handout tonight, it's handout number 8. But what it is, I rewrote it from 7. So actually, that goes all the way back to 6. So if you've got 6 and 8, they bridge together. So if you was to lose 7, it won't hurt nothing. But if you keep it, it won't hurt nothing either. But I wrote that thing about 4 times this week, and I kept trying to see where I was going, and I kept going in different directions, but I think I got her nailed down. So anyway, that will be where we was at last week, where we're going to start today, and that's in Daniel chapter 2, verse 45. Anybody got a question or anything before we start tonight? Anything that maybe to clarify from last week? Okay, I know some. Go ahead, Bill. Strike that question. Okay, Daniel chapter 2. Let's look. Now that's coming.
Has Babylon been a continuous city, or is it no more? Even to today?
No, it's not. Not today. And continuous, no, because, and we're going to cover it tonight in the book of Genesis chapter 11, the Lord laid them all off and sent them all to the four corners of the earth. And then Babylon begins to be rebuilt again. And then it reaches its peak under Nebuchadnezzar. And then it's destroyed again. And then it arises again. We find it referenced in the book of Peter, in Peter's epistle. There was a church in Babylon. So it arises again, but as a much smaller town than it ever was, and then it arises again. It was, we know in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. So we'll get into that tonight, but Genesis chapter 11 will begin. Good question. Okay, now keeping in mind what's going on here, Nebuchadnezzar is a worshiper of many gods, but he has taken the many gods of Babylon and he's kind of created a composite of one God that includes them all, and it's this golden image. Let's look at Daniel chapter 2 and verse 45 at a couple of verses of scripture and note some of the things that's going on here. Now, Daniel has given unto Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation of the dream that he had, that he was troubled about, and he forgot. But he was troubled because he forgot it, but he was also troubled because he knew it was important. You ever have something like that? You can't remember what it was, but you knew it was important. So Daniel gives him all the details of that, and he's at the very end of that interpretation. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the arm. Now, he's kind of going in reverse order here, but the stone that he's talking about is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes and he destroys the world power that's standing then. Now, all these other powers have been destroyed through the ages, but what he's saying in this verse of Scripture, notice what he says, that it break in pieces the iron, which is Rome, the brass, which is the Grecian, the clay and the silver. The clay is a part of the iron, which was the feet and the toes. And he said, in the silver, which is the metal Persian, and the gold, now, which was Nebuchadnezzar's or the Babylon. Now, what he's saying, even though Babylon fell many, many years ago, it fell because of the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands. Because the Lord ordered through his power the destruction of Babylon. And then he orders the destruction of the Medo-Persian Empire through Alexander the Great. And then Alexander the Great dies and his kingdom is divided. But keep in mind, the Lord always and always will ordained the powers that be. There's no one ever been in power in this world that the Lord didn't have his hand on, good or bad. Now, keep that in mind as you look at this, because he says this, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. Now, at this point right in here, Nebuchadnezzar is early in his kingdom. He's a young king. Now, chapter 3, it changes drastically because it moves 23 years in the future. But at this point, imagine King Nebuchadnezzar as a young king, and all these things have been pressed upon him. But he says, these are the things that's going to come to pass hereafter. So right now, Nebuchadnezzar knows the history of his nation to be. He knows the history of the nations that will be. He actually knows all these things that's going to take place for the next 2,600 years. Now, what Nebuchadnezzar don't know is that it's 2,600 years. You know, there's some things it's best not to know, ain't it? He does know that his kingdom is going to end and another is going to stand, but he don't realize this hereafter is going to reach as far as it will. And the dream is certain and the interpretation thereof sure. He's telling him it's going to happen exactly how it was given to me by the Lord, and it's going to happen that way. It's a sure thing that it's going to happen. Now, what we want to deal with for the next few minutes, briefly, is what happens hereafter the hereafter. Because Nebuchadnezzar is the beginning of the Gentile world power, the times of the Gentiles, and it's going to end when the Lord comes back and sets up his kingdom. But I want us to briefly look into that kingdom just a short period of time, because I want to build upon something that's going to take place later in the kingdom of the Lord. But let's look briefly at some things that's going to take place early in the kingdom. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 4. And he said, and I saw an angel come down from heaven. Now keep in mind, the battle of Armageddon has just been fought. The kings of the earth has been destroyed. And he says, this angel having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Verse 2. And he says about the devil, and he said, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now this angel that he's talking about right here takes Satan, he binds him for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. In verse 3. He says, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, notice that, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. So the devil will literally be put out of commission for 1,000 years, but keep in mind, he don't have to be around for people to get themselves in trouble. Pastor talked about this yesterday. You can't say the devil made you do anything. He might entice you, but there's enough meanness in all of us to take care of it without him being responsible for it. So he's going to be placed in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And keep in mind, during that 1,000 years, there's a lot of things going to be going on. We last week, we looked in Zechariah chapter 14, where those of Egypt is going to refuse to come up and worship in Jerusalem, so people's going to be as hard-headed as they ever was. And he said it after that, he must be loosed a little season. So at the end of the 1,000 years, he will be loosed a little season. Verse 4. Now, here's the part that I want you to think about, because we're entering into that kingdom. And he said, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute, because there is, in the book of Matthew chapter 25, you might want to make a note of this, somewhere around verse 31, I believe is where it's at, where the Lord sets up the sheep and goat judgment. Now, there will be a judgment set there, and the Lord will set upon his throne, judging the nations of this world. But this is different. All thrones, notice that. And they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Now, the people that he's talking about right here, these souls are people that was killed during the tribulation in the last 42 months. He says, and for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, this is the beginning of the kingdom. The Lord is going to bring these souls up that were beheaded, and there's a judgment that's going to take place. Now look with us in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9 through 11. Now here in Revelation chapter 6, this is the sixth seal that's taken off the book that has been given to the Lamb of God. And he said, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they had. I beg your pardon, the fifth seal. The sixth seal is brought up at the latter part of this chapter. He said, and he opened the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. Now this is what's taking place in Jerusalem. The temple is going to be rebuilt. The Jew is going to be allowed to go in because they have made a covenant with the devil. They're going to be going in, rebuilding the temple. They're going to set up temple worship again, and they're going to be there worshiping the Lord, and then they're going to be beheaded. He said, and them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now keep that in mind and look at the next verse. He said, and they cried with a loud voice. Now this is a soul that has been beheaded. Now when our flesh is killed, the soul is not. And not only is it not killed, it can talk. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, doest thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Because they're beginning to be slaughtered because Antichrist has turned on them, has broken that covenant with Israel, and he is going through and he's beheading and killing these people, and they want vengeance. But what the Lord is telling them here, look at the next one. In verse 11, and white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season. Now, that kind of brings in the teaching. A lot of people, they think when they die, they get a robe, and it appears that that's what it looks like. And that's kind of a temporary clothing that you get until the judgment. And he says, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season. Now, that's not soul sleep, folks. But there is a rest between death and the resurrection. And he said, until their fellow servants, because more of them is going to die the same way, and that's what we just read in Revelation chapter 20, is the rest of them is going to be resurrected. And he says, also fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now, the reason I want you to see that is a couple things, but beheading is the way of capital punishment. That's the way capital punishment is going to be carried out during the Great Tribulation. I've mentioned this before in Sunday school, that the people that we know of today that is noted for killing people that way is those people that we call Muslims. That's their way of ending the life of an infidel. Now, we're going to be covering something tonight. We may have time to get into this that kind of bridges all that together. Now, let's look in Matthew chapter 19. Let's look at verse 27 through 28, I believe it is. Yes. Now, here, Peter and the disciples, and they've done this two or three times. They kind of question the Lord on what they're going to get out of this. And, I mean, they're just like us. You know, we look around and sometimes we get all depressed and stuff and we wonder what the Lord's going to do for us for going through all this suffering that we go through sometimes. But now Peter then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all. All Peter gave up was fishing. And we seen him one time where he couldn't catch nothing. So probably a good thing that he changed trades, wouldn't it? He said, we've forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Poor old Peter. But you know, can't you see Peter and all of us? I mean, we're just moaning and groaning. Whether we say it or not, we do inside, don't we? We complain to the Lord whether anybody else hears it or not. Verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, because Peter was the leader, so to speak. What Peter said was what everybody was thinking. Verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, and the regeneration is the beginning of the kingdom. That's when the Lord establishes his kingdom. When the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. We know that. That's what he's explaining there. Ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, what do you think about that? The Lord is going to use the disciples to judge the nation of Israel. Them old fishermen from Galilee, those old tax collectors, those bunch of folks that followed the Lord around that drove the Pharisees crazy, the Lord's going to place them on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The reason I want you to think about this, it kind of draws a different picture sometimes than what we think is going to take place in the millennium, in the kingdom of the Lord. Let's go in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 46. Yes, sir. Yeah.
From heaven, literally judge the tribes.
Yeah, they're going to be resurrected and sure will. They've got the Lord done interviewed them and done give them the job. It's just a matter of showing up in about 2,000 years for the job. Done been interviewed. Now there's another one right here we're getting ready to look at. It's got a real unusual job too. I kind of like his job a little better than that in there. Daniel chapter 2, verse 46. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel. Now, we see this out of Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 3 also. Nebuchadnezzar always overreacts. And the bad thing about it, he's never sincere about it. Every time he does this, he'll backslide within a chapter. Just about like us. We're fired up one day and falling the next, ain't we? He fell on his face and worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. That's a sacrifice. He said, man, this guy's great. Nebuchadnezzar can't get over this. This guy right here, we need to do something special for him. Revelation chapter 15, verses 1 and 6. John the Revelator, 2,600 years in the future. And I saw another sign in heaven. And because I'm saying that, because John's writing is 2,600 years in the future. He's only 600 years in front of Nebuchadnezzar. But John has already went 2,000 years in the future. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Verse 6. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. Now picture that. Look in Revelation 16, verses 17 through 19. And the seventh angel poured out his vial unto the air. This is one of the seven that we talked about there earlier, of these plagues. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven, saying from the throne saying, it is done. Look in verse 18. And there were voices and thundering and lightning, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. What is the largest we've had in our lives? Like 8.5 on the Richter scale? We're talking about one that would make them all small. So mighty an earthquake and so great. Look at the next verse. And the great city was divided in three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give up and to her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Now that's that angel that brings this down. He said in Revelation 21, verses 9 and 10, and there came unto me one of the seven angels. What we're doing, we're following that angel. He's busy. He's got one of the angels of the seven vials. He comes in and he destroys Babylon with it. And then we see him over here in Revelation chapter 21. And it came into me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials. Just one of them. That's all we're concerned about for the moment. Full of the last seven plagues and talked to me saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now he's doing kind of a touring guide right here at this point in verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. Notice that he has the ability to translate John. and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of God, out of heaven from God. This is the place that no doubt in John chapter 14, the Lord said that He went to prepare us a place. So now we see the result of that preparated city, the city that the Lord brings down. And this angel is given John the tour, Revelation 21, 22, verse 8. That's right, ain't it? Yeah. 22, verse 8. Now we're getting down to something here. Remember Nebuchadnezzar bowing down to Daniel? And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Got that? Got that pictured? Look at the next verse. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am of thy fellow servant. For I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the saying of this book, worship God. Notice that. Look at the next one. And he said unto me, seal not the saying of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now, this angel that he bowed down to worship, he told John, don't do that. Back up to verse 9. Look at it one more time. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets. Don't know who he is, but now he's an angel of God that's bringing the seven plagues upon the earth, but in his former life, he was a prophet. So I guess, Bill, where we're headed with that is the disciples got to be judges of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel in the millennial. But whoever that was, he gets to burn down Babylon. He gets to help destroy one of the most wicked things on the world in the world in the last days. So the Lord's got a lot of exciting jobs. I mean, we may get one better than that. So, you know, that picture of everybody, you know, strumming the harp, floating around on cloud nine, the Lord has got something exciting for us to do. I've had some pretty good deals down here. I've been excited a few times down here, but I'm looking for something good when we get up there. But we might be right in the middle of that thing. Can't never tell. We might be right there helping Him carry through all these things during the tribulation. That'd be something, wouldn't it? Okay. Yeah.
If He brings the 12 disciples back, he could bring back some of the saints of God, like the great preachers like Billy Graham, to have jobs to do in latter time.
Yeah.
I never thought about that.
Yeah. It makes you realize that the Lord's got a plan much bigger than we would if we was doing the planning. You know, if we was doing the planning for eternity, we'd all be on vacation all the time. Barbara.
The 12 disciples have their name on the foundation of the city.
That's true.
That's,
there you go. Pretty important fellas, wasn't he? Yeah. That's true. I forgot about that. The 12 apostles' names are in the foundation of the city, the New Jerusalem. And the Lord's done told us, so He's got to do it. They're good as there. And that, I guess them thrones has got their names on it too. They know where to say it at, I guess, I'm sure. But things like this is what I like about looking in the Bible and studying, because you see these details that you'll miss sometimes if you just kind of read it and go. Anybody else got right anything you write in there? Okay, let's go in to Daniel chapter 3. And in this, I want us to look in Daniel chapter 2, verses 47 through 49, and just read it so we can walk right in to chapter 3 and know what's going on. Now, he said, the king answered to Daniel and said, of a true it is that your God is a God of gods. Do you see that capital G and the little g? Now, Nebuchadnezzar's not give up his gods yet. He's just rating Daniel's God higher than his God. The old heathen is holding on to everything he can. And he holds on to it much longer than this too. And a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Look at the next verse. Then the king made Daniel a great man. I've read that I don't know how many times in the last 2 weeks. And I got to thinking, he just thinks he did. Daniel was a great man before Nebuchadnezzar done anything when he walked. But at least Nebuchadnezzar thinks that he made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Remember them guys earlier that tried to throw him under the bus? He's even in charge of them now. So a promotion, when it comes around, sometimes you'll be facing a different way. Later, that's what they used to say about climbing the ladder in verse 49. He says, then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. He didn't forget his brother, neither did he. Because remember, they went in and seek God's will in this interpretation of that dream, and they had as much to do with Daniel being blessed of God and receiving it as Daniel did. And he said, I want to take care of them, and they're over the affairs of the province of Babylon, so they have a good government job too. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Now, if you'll go back and you'll study in this, the gate was a place, it was a political position, and it was a job of great judgment. It's where a lot of decisions were made, and that's where Daniel went. He said in the gate of the king, he was there making decisions for the king. So Daniel, as long as Daniel was around, Babylon had a much, much better situation. But now we're going into Daniel chapter 3, and keep in mind, we're moving right now, we're moving 20 years in the future. Most commentators say it's 23 years, and I went back several times in the last few chapters of Jeremiah and went back in the books of 2 Chronicles, and it does look like it's closer to 23 years, but let's say 20 plus years since Nebuchadnezzar made that big testimony there of that Daniel's God was a God of gods. I mean, he's fired up, and the revival has stuck. He's fired up good, but now look what happens. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now we know that a cubit is around 18 inches, so we've got this image out there. It's about 90 foot tall, and Brother Steve has got one up there that we can kind of look at. Now, the reason I want you to see that is the plain of Dura. Dura means circle or dwelling. It was kind of the suburbs around the city of Babylon. Now, the city of Babylon had great high walls all the way around. It had 6 temples to pagan gods in it. And each one of these temples was high in itself. And the whole city, when you looked at it, as we did in that 3D, which was taken from the archaeology studies, it was a great city with high rises all over it. But this image could not have been seen there. So what he does, he moves out away from Babylon in the suburbs in this place called Dura, and he sets it out there where anybody coming to the city of Babylon could see it. Or if you looked from the windows of Babylon out to the plain, you could see it. And when people was traveling in this area, because it was all flat around there, you would be able to see that image as you left Babylon, and you would be able to see it as you come toward Babylon. Now, the king, when he does this, when he makes this image, and let's go look in verse 2.